don't like peas myself, but you put them in stew, I can do all right with them. We're in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 today. It's where we're going to begin. Our church inherited a little piece of property down by the creek from a fellow who was kind enough to will it to the church. We went in to see what all was up, and it's in a floodplain. And apparently it had been flooded several times. The floor was all spongy, and there was a musty smell throughout the whole place. And we determined really the best thing for that property is to raise it and just maybe even sell the property. But thankfully we were able to get out from under it. One of the problems with it, the neighbor came by and said, "You wouldn't believe this, but before, some years ago, when the prior owners had this piece of property, it could have been shown in Better Homes and Gardens. It just was a jewel. They took such good care of it, and it was such a beautiful little place." Same owner, or same property, different owner. One gave it value, the other ruined it. You know, each one of us is given one life to live, just one. Some people will add great value to this world, and some people will detract from it. But all along the way, there are these markers, these turning points where you and I have to make decisions. Which way are we going to go? Just like David had a decision to make. Is he going to stay an angry little boy and become rebellious against his parents? Or is he going to repent and be a good boy and follow the way of the Lord in all of his life? And it's funny how you can make that decision as a young man, but you're going to have to make it again as a teenager and again as a young adult and again as an adult and over again. Things are going to happen. You're going to come to crossroads and you're going to have to keep making the decisions. And Paul is encouraging us today to make up our mind to live worthy. Choose giving, helping, doing, believing, working, blessing. Choose to add value to the life that God has given to you and to this world to where we're called to minister. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Father, thanks for the word. And I pray that today would be an encouragement, that today would point us in the right direction once again. And we would follow hard after you. And we'll thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I read the scripture, as I studied this block of scripture for today, it hit me in a different way than it had hit me before. And as I read it, I thought, you know what? Prisoner. Paul's calling at that moment in his life was to be a prisoner. How many would like that for a calling? The man had been very faithful. The man had been very good. He had done tremendous things in the name of the Lord. His life is still blessing ours today. And yet there came a point in his life where God said, "You know what? I could really use you in prison." Thanks, God. I know a lot of people who should be in prison that aren't. Some of them are in a political office, but you take your best and you put them. But Paul realized all things work together for good. That's where God called him for now. And I read into this passage, he's not only saying, "Okay, I'm a prisoner for the Lord." He didn't say, I'm a prisoner for the Lord. And I felt like he was reaching out to us to say, "Okay, what's your calling? What's your calling? What do you do? Who are you? What are your gifts? How are you positioned?" I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a caregiver. I'm a grandpa. I'm a bit of a health nut on the side. What about you? Got any callings? What all is in your portfolio? Truck driver, teacher, nurse, student, golfer? Calling. You're called to it. You're gifted for it. There's a reason you're here. And it may or may not be what you're doing. You may feel a pull, but you've never really pursued it. It's always been on the back burner, always been there somewhere, one of these days. get around to it. When you find your niche, it scratches an itch. We make a lot of fun of millennials these days and so on, and some of them decide when they want to show up to work and when they don't want to show up to work and these kinds of things. But I think one of the charms of the millennials is they want to choose how they're going to live their life. They don't just want to punch a time card. They don't want to just do the 9 to 5. How many people in our generation do you know, they got a job because they needed a job, because they had to support their family, but they hated their job every day they went to their job and couldn't wait for the job to be over and they could get old enough to retire and be done with all of that? Maybe there's more to life than just having a job. Maybe there would be doing something that adds value to you and you add value to all else that is going on. Because we went to our job and we did our work, we gave our kids an opportunity, a platform. We said to them, hey, wait a second. Maybe don't just go get a job. Find out what you would enjoy doing, what you're talented at doing. And maybe the next generation has a better opportunity than we had coming through. When you find your niche, it scratches an itch. It fills a void. It satisfies a need. And maybe what you do to scratch that itch is different than what you do to earn a living and to keep the family together and so on. And as we continue in our text, we'll find out later on that a lot of what God has given to us should be reflected in the body of Christ. When we come to church, when we bring our gift along, we should look for there to be an expression here. Not just when I go home, not just later, but here in the church. How do I affect the church? What did God give to me to bring to the church so that we can put it all together and do this thing that God wants the church to be doing in all of the world? It might be helping in the booth or in the kitchen or moving dirt outside or planting trees or trimming something or adding to other. It might be serving in the nursery, showing up at Morningstar to pray for people, coaching Bible quiz, singing in the worship team, painting a room, cooking meals for Stephen's legacy, taking the youth to convention, hosting a Zoom meeting for others with physical challenges. What could you do? What would you like to do? Not just does it have to be done and did we need somebody, but if you were really dreaming, who are you? What do you do well? What would you like to do in the kingdom of God? Why is it called a calling? Well, somebody's calling. Somebody's asking you to do it. And it's not a person. I hear Jesus calling. I hear Jesus calling. It's a divine nagging. And sometimes we resist that call because it doesn't look attractive. It seems harder than what we want to do. We don't seem suited for it. But that nagging keeps up until we can't resist it any longer. If He's called you to do it, He will equip you for it. Your dad ever invites you along to do a project with him? Maybe it was build a shed or work on an old car and restoring it. And you didn't know a thing of how to do what he was asking you to help with. And he wasn't asking you to help because he needed your help. He was asking you along because he wanted to share something of his life with you. He wanted to show you a skill. He wanted to bring you along. He wanted you to enjoy what he enjoys. And in the process, there would be a bonding that would come along. That's why the Father invites us to be part of the church. Why he invites us to be part of the work. He could do it all on his own. And maybe it would turn out even better. But he chooses to be bonded to us, and he invites us along and he gifts us. And then he says, I'll show you how to do this. I'll show you how you can come along. And together, we're going to get better at this. And when you learn, you feel good. You feel competent. And with what you have learned, there are a couple things you can do. You can do for other people who cannot do for themselves, which is always a good feeling. Or you can teach others what you have learned, and there's a bonding that goes along with that. So this is how we live a worthy life, doing and sharing, getting out of that little bubble that's all about me and looking around at who I can bless today. Be careful with your attitude as you live and as you serve, because your doing can be negated by a sour or superior attitude. So do for others, but don't get all haughty about it. Do for others, but don't complain about it to everybody else. Do it with a joyful spirit. Here in verse 2 it says, be completely humble and gentle. Think about it. Are you completely humble and gentle? I know you might be pretty humble. Are you completely humble and gentle? Let's carry that word completely over to the next. Patient. Are you completely patient? My wife's always saying, I have no patience. That really upsets me when she says that, because I know I'm very patient. Completely patient. Bearing with one another in love. Keep in mind the overall context we're in. God's doing something in us to show us off in front of rulers and powers in heavenly places. His graces are at work in us, and others are watching this marvelous thing that he's doing. He has provided us with all we need to fill us up with all the fullness of God. So I have been equipped. Have you ever felt ill-prepared for what you're facing? Maybe you said, I've never done this before. I don't know how to do it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I don't like peas, and I'm not going to eat peas. God, you can't make me eat peas. There they sit. This is not the life we expected, Lord. This is not what we were preparing for. God has provided us with all we need to fill us up with the fullness of God to handle whatever is in front of us right now. If your calling is to build, he'll make you a builder. I never did that before. He'll make you a builder. If your calling is to teach, nothing else will satisfy you. You can see what a teacher goes through. You can be tortured by it. You can say, give all these excuses. But if you're a teacher, if you're gifted, you need to teach. And God will give you this flow of material that you just have to share. And just because you can do what you do better than anybody else, remember where the gift comes from. It's not you. You are an instrument. You've been touched. You've been gifted. So you have something to bring to the party. You ever see one of those lists? We do it here all the time. We're having a potluck or we're having a picnic, and we need people to bring X and Y and Z. What are you good at? What do you do well? So it's nice to carry something in that everybody appreciates. You bring it in, and you have something to bring to the party. Now you don't feel like you're, you feel like you're contributing. And maybe even somebody compliments what you brought. And it makes you feel really good. Let's say I brought a Kathy Allen chocolate cake to the party. And everybody says, wow, that's really delicious. Can I have the recipe? Oh, yeah, that's Kathy Altland's chocolate cake. And I can pass the recipe on to you that she passed on to me. Or maybe even better yet, I didn't even bake it, but Kathy actually baked it. I just brought it to the party. And that's what it's like to be gifted in God. God gives us a gift and we bring it to the party. I use my gift here. I don't have a gift of singing. I don't have a beautiful voice. That's why I'm not the worship leader. But thank God we've got some people with beautiful voices that can bring that to the party. And somebody else can teach or preach. Somebody else can be an usher. Somebody else can help out in other ways. Somebody else can take all the kids in the back room and so on and so forth. You know, one of the things I enjoy doing, I think I have a gift for it, is telling stories. I write and tell stories. Now, I probably enjoy my stories more than you do, but at least, you know, somebody's having a good time when I'm telling the story. But you could have a good time, too, in bringing what you have to the party. We were talking in our prayer room before we came over just how powerful it is to have the right person greeting. When the right person lights up, when they see you, how special that is to you. I was saying about how I often leave, you know, candy kisses on the porch of my kids when I'm on my way into the office. And every once in a while, my grandson will catch me leaving the candy kisses on the porch and he'll run out the door and he'll give me a hug. He hugs me before he goes for the candy. Now, my little girl, 4-year-old, she'll go for the candy first, but, you know, we'll take what we can. And it always warms my heart. I tell you what, I'm walking on cloud 9 when I got my hug from my grandson. He shot out the door. He saw Grandpa. And when we can greet one another like that, how valuable is Sam in the kitchen? Those of you who have egg sandwiches, if you haven't had an egg sandwich yet, you need to become part of that crowd just to get a Sam greeting. You know, he greets you, hey, how you doing? You know, and can I make you a sandwich? And it's almost like you heard it, you know, like you did something wrong if you don't want a sandwich. He makes you feel special. He remembers how you like your sandwich, all that kind of stuff. And it's good. Sam's got a gift for greeting. What's your gift? And don't hide it under a bushel and don't poo-poo it away. It's special. Dara in the nursery. I don't know if you've ever seen Dara with children, but she loves babies. She loves, in fact, all of her kids love babies in a special way. You remember when Dave and Peg Mickley used to come there living in Florida now, but they were special with our kids. And they loved other people's kids so much. And it just, I just saw Derek up here this morning and a little one ran up into his arms. And I think it was Caroline who was just so pleased to see Derek. And, you know, that's a gift to make other people happy they're here and to be special together. What's your gift? Oh, well, it's just, no, it's not just, not everybody can do that. Dana is so welcoming to the little ones coming in, and the floors are vacationing down in Florida right now, but they're like baby magnets. Have you ever seen the floors come in, and Tammy and her daughter Grace, they're looking for babies. And you know, parents are happy to lend their babies out for an hour or two. They've had them for all week long, all night long sometimes. And can I have? Yes, please do. And that's a gift, and it builds the body, and it strengthens. And so what do you bring to the table? I like telling my stories. What do you like to do? Some people love to cook. Some people love to cook. And to them, it's not like work. And they work harder at cooking than anybody else, but they feel better about it when they're done. People who don't like to cook, when they cook, it's real work. They're tired when they're done. They really didn't like doing it. It probably doesn't taste all that good either, but they cooked, okay? You sit down, eat it. I cooked it, you eat it. And, you know, but when you have a gift, find your gifting. Walk worthy. Part of walking worthy is to figure out how you walk. I don't know if you remember that song. I think it's from the 60s or the 70s. I can't dance. I can't sing. Only thing about me is the way that I walk. You know, and they do this walk. I don't know if you remember that song or not, but yeah, that's me. I can't dance and I can't sing. You know, every once in a while I limp because my leg hurts. You know, I just have a funny walk every once in a while. And find out who you are and what you do well. You don't have to do what somebody else does. Well, this is what a Christian, God's got all kind of Christians with all kind of, you walk worthy of your calling. You try to imitate somebody else, you try to walk, no, it's not going to work. But you're pretty special. And you have some gifts that can be added to the body that are going to light everybody up, and it's going to be good. Your gift is a gift from God to you before it's a gift from you to others. So be thankful for it. And when people call you and ask you to get involved in this or that, it's a joy. Now, you have to draw boundaries, and you have to not, you know, all of that is true too. But enjoy what you do. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the things you have to do. They're a blessing from God. You know, the older I get, the more I'm so thankful just being able to get out of bed in the morning. You know, the feet hit the floor and you stand up and everything cracks. And it, you know, those first couple steps in the morning. Well, no, but, you know, things start to work and it gets better as the day goes on. Be thankful for life. Be thankful for the ability to work, the ability to do things for others, and to be a blessing. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. One thing I hope that we can do better and better as a church, I don't want anybody to feel rushed or pushed, but I want us to be able to come in and breathe a deep breath of heavenly air. Relax and let the Holy Spirit take control and do what He wants to do in any given service. Freely we receive, freely we give. Verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We need to work at unity. Do what we can to build others up and to keep the unity of peace, bringing us closer and closer. We have a lot of includers in our church family. We've got a ladies group. We've got men's breakfast. The gathering is the ladies group. In fact, I think they're going to Perkins, or maybe they were at Perkins this last week. Glory Bound Garage. Worship is a great unifier. Sometimes I come in and my attitude's not the best. But boy, worship sure helps that, and helps us to become more unified. The worship team does its best to lead us in worship. We have to follow. The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let's be at peace with one another. If we have aught, take care of it. The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. If you've caused a disturbance in the force, correct it. And the next several verses point out, there's only one body. Let's make the most of it. You know, this Wednesday we're going to be doing a funeral for Jim Ketterman. And I've been in the ministry over 40 years, so I've done a lot of funerals. And I've done funerals for people that I love. There was just something about Jim's passing that really hit me. You know, it kind of took the wind out of my sails. Jim's one of the nicest guys I've ever known. Quiet, unassuming, carry a great conversation on with the fella. You know, loved his family so much. Just a good guy. And we shouldn't wait till funerals to let everybody know how great a person that was, right? We should love one another while we've got each other here. And the older I get, the mushier I get. And I don't apologize for it anymore. I love you and I want to let you know that. And I appreciate you. Thanks for being part of this body. Thanks for all we've been through together, the ups and the downs. Let's finish strong together. And just as Paul was much more than a prisoner and didn't start out as such, you'll ever be discovering more callings and gifts, and I hope you'll bring them to the party. I hope you'll bring them to the church. I'd encourage you to try some new stuff. Maybe you've never been a teacher's helper or a teacher before. Try it. Maybe the booth scares you, but you'd like to learn. We'd like to teach you. Whatever the case might be, let God grow you. Bring another gift to the party. Would you stand with me today?